Welcome to the Recovering from Religion podcast. We are a vibrant international community for those who have questions or doubts about their faith.
Well, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce tonight's guest. Brian Fleming is a 5-year volunteer slash veteran with Recovering from Religion, serving in various ways, including a helpline agent. He was the resource curator, volunteer interviewer, and an RFR support group facilitator in the Nashville, Tennessee area. Brian has volunteered for 5 years with Smart Recovery, also as a support group facilitator and the Tennessee regional coordinator. These volunteers roles at both RFR and SMART are peer support, and Brian's not a professional expert in the area. As a trained and experienced meeting facilitator, however, Brian tends to lead mock SMART recovery meetings with vigorous discussions, although without giving professional advice. Brian, welcome. It's so good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Thank you, Eric, and the recovering RFRX community. How's everyone? Don't answer all at once. Okay. So what I have in mind for, do I launch right into my presentation? Yes?
You're here to kind of talk about an alternative to Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And it's called SMART Recovery. What does SMART stand for?
SMART is an acronym that stands for Self-Management and Recovery Training.
Okay.
I can go into that a little bit. Self-management is the idea that we are responsible for our own behaviors, and we are not helpless in that way. And then recovery could be from a variety of things. Alcohol and drug addiction are most common, but it also could be things like gambling, smoking, overeating, and a variety of other things. And the recovery idea is that we can get better. We can get well. And then the T in the SMART is for training and tools and techniques. And that's where the evidence-based science comes in as we offer people ways to encounter their own recovery.
And how do you know how SMART kind of got started, like where this impetus came from?
It came as a alternative, I believe, to the prevailing methods, which is Alcoholics Anonymous and 12 steps, in such a way that it is more evidence-based, science-based, reason-based, rather than faith-based. And if you're not familiar with AA and 12 steps, I'm not going to say anything negative about it here. I've been trained not to do that, but I will point a few things out. And one thing I'll point out, it is faith-based, and it is has a religious slant to it. And you will see that throughout even the 12 steps themselves, the very words.
That being the submitting to a higher power part of Alcoholics Anonymous?
Exactly.
Okay. How long has SMART been around?
Oh, I think about 30 years, I'm going to say.
And oh, then
it's based on cognitive behavior therapy, which came out in the 60s and 70s, I would say, and also rational emotive behavior therapy. So it's got that kind of life. Whereas the AA and the 12 steps started in the 1930s, and because it's a certain way of doing things, it hasn't changed in that time. And that's a sign, again, that it's not really science and evidence-based. Otherwise, it would have progressed along with the science.
One of the,
do you think that?
Oh, sorry, Matt. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Do you think that it's the religious affiliation that's the draw and why we know so much more about AA?
AA is huge, and it has helped many, many people. A lot of people have recovered from their issues with the support of AA and 12 steps. It is enormous, and it's the biggest game in town, and But we do have a good alternative. Smart Recovery has gained recently and has quite a bit of penetration throughout the U.S. and other countries as well.
That's great.
How many people or how many areas can you find Smart Recovery?
It's most every metropolitan area. You might not be able to find it as many in the Bible Belt or in rural areas, that's for sure. But most any big city will have one.
Yeah, before moving here to Denver, I was in Springfield, Missouri, and that was one of the things that so many of the people there in the secular community was looking for, was a Smart Recovery type of system. And I had no idea how to even get something like that started and who to contact. And all that they had was an Alcoholics Anonymous type of program. And if I was interested in setting something like that up, is there a way to do that somehow to get to, I guess maybe we can talk about this toward the end.
Sure. And I have in mind, you know, for today's pitch is a mock support group meeting in the Smart Recovery way. I've got it provides an intro to the program, and we won't be able to have the conversation we would have in a small group, but you'll get a feel for the program if I step through that standard agenda. Shall I do that?
Yeah. If you feel like we've covered kind of the basics, let's go ahead and get started.
All right. So imagine you've, in COVID, spent too much time at home and started drinking more than your wife wants you to, and it's time to do something about it. You might Google online to find some recovery options, or maybe it's a more serious situation. Maybe you had a DUI or an overdose or something awful like that, and you Google secular addiction recovery, because you've already attended maybe an AA 12-step meetings and it didn't feel right to you. And so I'm going to share my screen here. And so you go online and you find Smart Recovery. Another option is LifeRing, and another one is Women of Sobriety. And you think there'd be more options, but some of the ones I checked into, their websites are dormant or something. And so these are the main ones, and Smart Recovery certainly is the leader, and it is the only one that I have volunteered for and am qualified to speak to. So you decide to go, and you go to your first meeting. You walk into a room with, you know, a circle of chairs, and there might be 5 to 15 people there. You're kind of nervous. You might be even a little embarrassed and wondering why you're there. And so you need to be kind of reassured a little bit. But now, these days, the meetings are all on Zoom, just like this meeting we're having here. And we'll probably keep that way for a while, because we even tried to have an in-person meeting and a Zoom meeting combined. Nobody came. Everyone came in on their Zoom only. So I will then kick off the meeting and do an introduction, followed by a brief check-in period, which I'll explain, and then we'll dive into some topics or some techniques, followed by a wrap-up, check-out, and wrap up the meeting in an hour's time. So SMART, we covered already, stands for Self-Management and Recovery Training, and we have face-to-face and online meetings. And there is the website for www.smartrecovery.org, where you can find your meetings, find resources. And SMART is a nonprofit. And if you wish to volunteer, you go there, yes. But if you wish to donate, you can go there and make your donation. I am a volunteer. The meetings we have are free, and donating is certainly optional. So the final authority for SMART Recovery is reason and scientific knowledge. And it evolves along with the scientific knowledge, and I'll give you an example of that in a minute. Whereas a religious or a spiritual belief is not required. You may have one, and you may even talk about it in the meeting, and that's fine. It's just not the focus of SMART Recovery meetings, because the SMART Recovery meetings emphasis is on self-empowerment and improvement. So here is an example of a tool, and it is an ABC technique, and it is a very simplified version of cognitive behavior therapy or rational behavior therapy, and it is an example of something we might walk through in the meeting. And it's a case where you would recognize that you've had an activating event, you have certain beliefs about the event, then you have some consequences as a result of those beliefs, but you can dispute those beliefs and come up with new and effective beliefs instead. Now, I have accidentally jumped too far into the program, so I'm going to back up to some of the other introductory points of Smart Recovery. One is it is a 4-point program, whereas 12 steps has how many steps? 12. Smart Recovery has only 4, and that makes it more simple and simplified. First one being motivation to abstain. It has been an abstinence-based program because that is often the best way to totally recover from an addiction like alcohol or drugs. But now, this is an example of where the program has changed, because in recent years, we've now called it a abstinence-oriented program. And that's in recognition that, well, for some recoveries, like from, say, overeating, you cannot totally abstain from that. So there are cases where moderating is what needs to be done, although abstinence is the best way to go in those cases. Also, there's a method called MAT, medically assisted treatment, which in Smart Recovery is a good thing to do if it's what your doctor prescribes and is very effective, and science has proven so. Whereas on the other hand, AA and 12 steps feel that is just being on another drug, and they don't recognize that as an effective recovery strategy in some cases. So that's motivation to abstain. Was there a question?
Yeah, one of the things that abstinence kind of brings to mind is when it comes to the things that I was taught growing up in school from the church, like abstain from sex, and we know that doesn't work at all. How is a recovery program abstaining different than like abstaining when you're going through puberty or experiencing sex?
Well, fair point. Sex is a part of life that is indispensable. Drugs and alcohol are not. Also, it's easier to count up to 0 than it is to count drinks per week to 10 or so. Counting to 0 is much easier. And drug courts and alcohol courts, sometimes people get referred to support groups. And those folks don't want people to keep drinking and driving, right? So it is good from a legal standpoint that if you're going to count Smart Recovery as your support group for the week, that you did go to an abstinence-based program. And come down to it with respect to drugs and alcohol, complete stop is the most effective way to overcome it.
Oh, wow. I had no idea. That's okay. I didn't quite get your count to 0 metaphor.
Some moderation programs have you counting the number of drinks that you have in a week. And so you might say, okay, I'm going to moderate and I'm only going to have 7 drinks per week, one a day, say. Mm. Well, it's easy to lose count. What did I have, 1 or 2? I don't know. But if you're counting to 0, it's easy.
Got it. Well, thank you for that clarification.
All right. So we're walking through the 4 points of the program. We covered abstinence. The next is coping with urges and learning how to overcome when an urge happens. Now, we also sometimes have, say, an urge to answer or check your phone for a text, right? But you can overcome the urge just sometimes by waiting it out. They don't last as long as people sometimes feel they will. And also, it might be just a matter of regulating your cravings. So program point number two is coping with urges. Number three is thoughts, feelings, and behaviors and problem solving on those dimensions. And that's where we get into the rational emotive behavior therapy techniques. And it is where the evidence-based methods kick in at that point. And then last point is lifestyle balance. And that is as you reduce or eliminate the problematic behavior, what do you replace it with? And hopefully it's with something that gives you some meaning in life, some satisfaction, some fun, and some positive results that maybe drugs and alcohol do not. Because if you do a checklist, you'll find that drugs and alcohol's benefits are all pretty much short term. You get that buzz, but then it goes away, and next morning, not so great, right? And abstaining has benefits that tend to be longer term, and you reap those rewards in a long term or over a lifetime, right? So accomplishing a lifestyle balance and finding direction and meaning is what we replace the need for drugs and alcohol in many cases. And also one of the keys there is connection with other people. Some people say the opposite of abstinence or engaging is actually connection with other people is the best thing that everyone needs, right? Okay, so a few other points. If I was doing an intro to a meeting, because I am attempting to do a mock smart recovery meeting, and I'm going on just a little bit for an intro, but that's okay. It is a confidential meeting. Everyone is what you say here stays here, but we do encourage crosstalk. Now, in some groups like AA and 12 Steps, crosstalk is discouraged, and it may be because they're meetings sometimes are so big that there's no time for it. But in Smart Recovery, we are there to support one another. And so talking to one another about these issues is very much welcome.
When you say crosstalk, is that continuing a conversation, or what does that mean?
That means that you might ask another participant a question or give another participant a suggestion. You're allowing people in the room to talk to one another. It's not just the speaker to the people.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So with that, I would have accomplished pretty much the intro to what Smart Recovery is all about. And then I would turn the meeting over into a check-in. And then a check-in is where each participant will say why they're here and what they're trying to get out of the meeting and what they hope to accomplish. Now, that is something different than an AA meeting where you may have heard of someone standing up and saying, my name's Brian and I'm an alcoholic, and then they proceed to tell you their entire history with their drug of choice. It's sometimes called a drunkologue. And that's not what we're interested in at Smart Recovery, because we want to talk about, well, maybe how are you doing this week, today, and where are you going in the near future? So we won't do a check-in here because we have 75 participants. But if we did, it would be a fairly brief check-in for each person. And then in the check-in, you would hopefully discover something to talk about in more depth and to use a tool on.
Well, why don't you use Madeline and I as the guinea pigs or the stand-in for the participants here? So how would I check in?
So give me a brief indication of how you're doing now, why you're here, and what do you hope to get out of the meeting?
Oh, I see. Okay. I am I'm doing good. I'm doing good. The next thing was, like, why am I here? Mm-hmm. I'm here because I've done cocaine 3 times last week, and I want to stop. I haven't really done cocaine 3 times.
What we say here is confidential, everyone.
This is going on YouTube. Oh, gosh. I've done the drugs a few times last week, and I want to stop doing the drugs.
That's fine. Madeline, would you like to check in?
Yes. Hi, my name is Madeline. I'm here for support. I'm dealing with grief after the death of my father and grandfather, and the drinking is out of control. Not true, YouTube, but...
All right. So I hear then that you've had a activating event, and there is a tool called the ABCs, which I already introduced, but maybe now I can go back to those and say you've had an activating event, a death in the family, and that's caused some trauma for you. And then you have a belief about that event, and the belief could be maybe that drinking will help you overcome that trauma. Is that why you've been drinking?
Yes, just to numb it all.
To numb the pain, absolutely. And there are, you know, payoffs to drinking and drugs, that, and there's reasons why we do them, right? So... You've had, though, some consequences. You've been unhappy with the amount that you're drinking, and you find yourself now at a support group meeting talking about it, right? Have there been any other consequences you're not comfortable with?
I'm not spending enough time with my family, and I'm feeling guilty about that.
Right. That's understandable.
So when you say activating event, that's, to me, sounds like you're saying this triggered you, like a modern day cool word to say triggering.
Yeah, it starts with A, so it's a great T wouldn't be out, out of the alphabet.
We'd have to go way down the list.
That's right.
Maybe you can have like a TLC instead of an ABC or something like that.
But so at this point, though, you know, I've asked you about using drugs to numb. And then you would dispute that idea by questioning it. And so what might be wrong with the idea, I guess, of using drugs and alcohol in that occasion?
Just all the negative consequences from it.
Right. So you might then dispute and question your beliefs. And then what you're looking for at this point is an effective new belief to replace that with. So what is a more effective way to look at the sadness of the acting event and how to overcome it?
I can up my meditation practice and do more self-healing activities, walking, running, etc.
Exactly. Exactly. And another one that I would always ask you to think of is that thing called connection. So you might want to connect with other people in your life, discuss the circumstance and get some comfort from one another rather than possibly isolating with the drugs and alcohol. So that would be replacing it with a new and more effective belief. Now, another thing I did there with you is I got you to start talking about better ways of thinking and better choices, to where I might also ask you, what are the chances that you'll succeed, and why didn't you recommend something else? So I can get you to start backing up your own ideas of better effective beliefs. And that's a technique called motivational interviewing, which was part of the training for, I didn't mention this point, is that to be a facilitator, we have a 6-week training program online, and it has a lot of wonderful life tools in addition to how to run a meeting, but also learning things like motivational interviewing, cognitive behavior therapy, and so on. Now, you do not come out as a counselor, and I need to remind that I'm not a counselor and a therapist of any type. All I can do, though, is facilitate a meeting. And I've been trained to do that. So, and it is peer support. But anyway, Smart Recovery does have a training program for facilitators, and that is something that is missing from the AA and 12-step method. All right. So now we've done an example of working through a tool. And by the way, we have a handbook, a smart recovery handbook with
how thick is it?
$12.
Show us the side. Oh, okay.
And it's got all kinds of tools like those, which the participant can use and find tools and techniques. So it is an educational program we're working on. And I mentioned while I'm showing my books, this is my facilitator training manual.
Okay.
With all the tips of how to run a better meeting and how to use some of these tools.
And Brian, a quick question. Sorry. What if someone you're having this going through the worksheet with doesn't quite have an effective new belief? Like, is that something that can, is it a process? You know, like how, is it like AA, you continue to go?
You can try these tools. You can have them fit the situation, and they may not exactly fit, but we just do our best as support group people helping one another with these ideas. And as you do this, you might do it in a meeting with other participants there who will chip in and say, what about trying exercising, as you mentioned? So you get the group discussion going as well. Now, one thing I was asked to do when I was originally invited to do this talk was to compare smart recovery to AA and 12 steps. And I've been doing some of that along the way. But I've got some things in mind that I'd like to share with you now about that. And recognizing, again, I have to remind myself, I am not here to trash AA or Narcotics Anonymous or 12 steps at all, but to explain the differences and allow you to make the best choices, because there are many paths to recovery. And you might come to a smart recovery meeting once a week, but you might need to go to meetings more often, and you might want to go to an AA meeting on the other nights. And we totally encourage that.
Oh, I never even thought about that, combining programs.
Combined methods. Now, if you say that in AA that you want to go to some other types of meetings, they're probably going to say, you know, our way is the best way, and you need to make sure you do it our way. But Smart Recovery is more open to the idea that there are many paths to recovery that different people may wish to choose. So when we think about, and that's another example, when we think about AA and 12 steps, here are the 12 steps. And I don't know if you've ever seen them before laid out, but you can see quite often there's a power with a capital P, there's a God with a capital G, there's another God, there's a Him with a capital H. So God is throughout the 12 steps. And the very first one, the very first of the 12 steps is probably the most troublesome one, and it doesn't really involve God, but it says, we admit we are powerless over alcohol. Now, that is 180 degrees different from what we're talking about in Smart Recovery, where we say we're self-management, we're required for our own recovery, we are responsible, and we are empowered. So it is. We're talking about two entirely different programs.
Yeah, I'm seeing praying in here. It feels like, just reading through these things, it feels like I'm setting myself to be a victim and powerless. Whereas if, like, on the other hand, it sounds like from what you've described out smart, you're giving me the control back to change my behavior.
Right. The control and the tools. Yes. And the support. Now, here's a case where they are in common. AA and 12 steps and Smart Recovery are both support groups. And people, the benefit that people get from it is that support quite often is the main thing, right? So that we have in common, support. But there are then many other differences. And I'm going to take this slide down because I have one more, and it's a list of the differences. Actually, the slides are that I showed are kind of an example of a whiteboard that I might have in the meeting, because I might write SMART and the acronym and what it means. And I always wrote down the four program points on the whiteboard. So that was my whiteboard. So If it's okay, I would like to just run down a checklist of comparisons between AA and Smart Recovery. It's a good time for that.
It sounds great.
All right. So first one is that AA has 12 steps, Smart Recovery only 4. So it is a much simpler program, and you can actually remember those 4, whereas the 12 steps you might forget after step 3, right? AA is faith-based, and SMART is evidence-based. And one way you know that AA is faith-based is that it has not changed since the 1930s, because they have faith in that method. And folks that are church-going and faith people might feel very comfortable there, but people who are secular, like many of us in this meeting, might feel quite uncomfortable there, and so they need to find something that fits their needs. But then evidence-based is what we're trying to do at Smart Recovery, and that's tricky in the social sciences, right, to really nail something down as evidence-based. So let me give you some examples. I know practice of therapy that is based on Enneagrams. Is Enneagrams a evidence-based method?
I don't even know what Enneagram is. Okay. It's the first time I've heard that word.
Okay.
Is this like just a random word you came up with?
No, it's a popular personality type method. The hint is it is not evidence-based. It is pretty much a horoscope.
Is that like
there's a practice in therapy that I'm familiar with that uses it as their main mode of therapy. So it is not evidence-based. Another example is Myers-Briggs. If you're familiar with that, the INTJ and the ISTP and those things.
Yeah, I'm more familiar with that. Yeah. Okay.
Also not evidence-based in my opinion, but it's not been proven out that those are really effective ways to type personalities. So it's hard to pin down what actually is evidence-based. And Daryl and I have had lots of conversations about this when we were deciding what things to put in our resources, because we only wanted to put things that are evidence-based in there and not lead people astray with spirituality and mushrooms and other things that are not evidence-based approaches. Here's another example. Equine therapy for children. Evidence-based?
Yes. Let's say yes.
Maybe. But I don't think so.
Okay.
It could be. All right. So evidence-based is important. The another one, as I mentioned earlier, is powerlessness in the AA and the 12 steps and empowering in the SMART. I mentioned the drunkalogue, long history, and the brief check-in forward looking at SMART. And then labels. At an AA or a 12 steps meeting, people say, I'm Brian and I'm an addict and I'm going to be an addict my whole life. And I've got to do the work and keep coming to these meetings my whole life. Do the work. Sound a little religious, right? But in Smart Recovery, we do not label ourselves. We would say, I'm a man. I'm a father. I'm an employee. I'm a brother who has a problem I'm working on, substance abuse, and I'm going to try to overcome it. It's a different way of looking at it, and we don't call ourselves labels. Also, we can recover and not need to attend meetings anymore, whereas AA and 12 steps say you need to pretty much come the rest of your life because you will always be an alcoholic. In Smart Recovery, you can recover. You can graduate effectively and move on with your life without go to the meetings as long as they're helpful, as long as you need to. All right. Another thing that is in common, as I mentioned before, is peer support in both cases. And AA has recovered group leaders. People who are in recovery themselves are the group leaders. That's also true in Smart Recovery, except we've been trained. And we've been given tools and methods to lead an effective meeting and use those tools. And there's 3 kinds of people, pretty much, that are Smart Recovery facilitators. One is people that are in recovery themselves. Two is professional people that use the methods and also want to help in that way in a volunteer setting. And the third, in my case, is just people who see a need and want to help. And so those are the main three kinds of people that become facilitators. And you can sign up to become a facilitator by going to the website and entering into the training program. All right. The next difference, or actually a similarity, is they're both abstinence-based. AA and Smart Recovery are abstinence-based. Smart Recovery is recognizing, though, that there are some addictions and behaviors that you cannot completely abstain from. Overeating is one. And then also, Smart Recovery is open to medically assisted treatment, which would be like Suboxone and things that help people overcome opioids and whatnot that have been prescribed by a doctor and shown to be effective by science. SMART supports those. Usually AA and 12 steps do not, because they see it as just another drug. Another one is the disease model. In AA and 12 steps, they teach that it is a disease, and that is how it is, and if you think differently, you're just wrong. At Smart Recovery, it's okay if you think it's a disease. That's fine, we can work with that. It's okay if you think it's not really a disease, it's more behavior. We can help you with that. We're here to help you no matter what you believe about that particular topic. But people and experts have had long debates about whether alcoholism is a disease. And go ahead and have that debate if you want, but here at SMART, we will help whether it's true or not.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's not like you're fighting on one side of the coin or the other, like yes, atheist, or yes, alcoholism is an addiction, or no, it's not an addiction. You're just like, we don't really care. We're going to help you one way or another.
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
So now there's a tricky topic that some folks that are recovering from religion are familiar with, and that is sex addiction. And you might say, well, there is no such thing as sex addiction, or there is no disease called sex addiction. And that may be so. But at Smart Recovery, if you come in wanting to reduce the amount of time you look at porn and you want to stop doing it in front of your wife, then we're going to talk through that and help you accomplish the goals and improve your circumstances, whether or not it's an addiction or a disease.
Oh my gosh. So you guys are really coming at this just from accountability. Like, I can come to a meeting for almost anything that I want to be held accountable for, whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex addiction, maybe social media or something too.
Social media, computers, gambling. I've had many gamblers come in. Sure.
Oh, wow. So this is an accountability system that is set up for just about anything. And it seems really flexible and not just focused on one individual type of addiction.
That's right. In some AA, you know, you have Alcoholics Anonymous and you have Narcotics Anonymous, and you pretty much need to be one or the other to go to their meetings. And if you start talking about using cocaine at an alcoholics meeting, you're a little bit out of place. But any of those issues are welcome at Smart Recovery.
Got it.
All right. Another difference is AA has a thing called a sponsor, which is someone who kind of guides you through and calls you if you miss a meeting and checks in on you. And because SMART is self-managed, we don't have those, and we're figuring you're adults and you don't need to be checked on like your children. All right, and then another one that I just learned about in preparing for this speech is there's a thing in AA called singleness of purpose.
Can we go back to the
sure.
The sponsor one real quick? Mm-hmm. I've seen that the sponsor model can really be taken advantage of by some uncouth people. Like they can take control of some people in a sense, but these sponsors can. Is that, have you heard of
yeah.
something?
Yeah, that's a risk. But actually, when I was describing that, I think I came down a little too hard on the sponsor, because that helps a lot of people, and mm-hmm. it is also a social bond interaction. They can become friends, so there's connection.
Okay.
So there's probably many good things to sponsor. It's just not part of the SMART program.
So that may be one reason why someone would want to attend or participate in both programs.
Exactly.
Okay.
You pull what works from each. Yes.
Man, this is super empowering. This is way better than I thought it would be.
All right. Now, for AA, they have a new thing. Well, this is new to me. I learned it as I prepared for this presentation. They have a thing called singleness of purpose. And that is that everything that's said in an AA meeting needs to be about addiction and about stopping alcohol. But there really is a whole life that people have where there, as I mentioned before, were fathers, brothers, employees, uncles, wives, sisters, you know. We have complete lives, and being a person who has a problem with a substance, that's just a part of it. And the other things may be a cause. For instance, Madeline's example was a death in the family was a trigger. So some trauma or something going on might be what's really behind the use. So having a singleness of purpose would, I think, cause you to miss out on many of the dimensions that people have that might affect their situation. On the other hand, SMART Recovery has one of the four program points is lifestyle balance. And that is making sure that you've got, you know, that you're not spending 12 hours a day on your phone, but you're actually going outside and you're going to work and you're writing a book and you're learning to play guitar and you're doing things with friends. And so you have a balanced life and you're not overdoing it in one certain area. And that there are many paths to recovery is another example, because in singleness of purpose, they would say our way is the only way. It's a single way. Mm. And SMART Recovery is about the many.
I like that. That
all right. More questions?
That's awesome. Do we have questions? Can we kind of back up to the beginning? Like, Brian, you had mentioned that you've been a SMART group facilitator, meeting facilitator for 5 years. What got you into this?
Now, there's a good question, because I am not in recovery myself. But I had a son who needed some recovery treatment. And we found the nearest rehab. Rehab. That's a topic I haven't hit yet. Everything I'm talking about here is support groups, okay? I'm not really talking about rehab and facilities and medical treatment like that. My son and many people need some rehab. And if you go try to find some, almost all of it is based on AA and 12 steps. And after 28 days of that, it didn't feel right for him, didn't feel right for me. So I started to look around for other options, and I discovered SMART Recovery. And then along came a Humanist magazine in June of 2015, and it said SMART Recovery. And I read all about it, and it said, if you want to start a meeting, sign up here. And I did. And I noticed there were not any SMART Recovery meetings in Middle Tennessee. And I thought there should be, because people need a choice. They need options, you know, especially yeah. if it's court ordered. If the court orders you to AA 12 steps, they're telling you to go partake in a religion. And you need a secular option so that it is separation of church and state, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I went and started a group first in Murfreesboro, and then got other facilitators involved, and we're running it now in Nashville, and other people are taking it away, and I'm in semi-retirement. So that's how I got into it.
I love it. That's pretty cool. Kind of going back to the faith-based versus evidence-based, we've kind of talked about the faith discussion. We've had the faith discussion a little bit here on RFRX, but it seems that evidence-based is so much more flexible and kind of can adapt to our own understanding, whereas opposed to faith-based, which just seems to be like wishful thinking, like, hey, this is how I think it should work, and I have faith, and so we don't need to change it at all. And from what how you've described SMART, it has actually changed over the 30 years in the in its life. Would that be an accurate way to describe it?
That's right. The example, a good example of that was the addition of MAT, medically assisted treatment. I was a little concerned about SMART still stuck in the 60s with cognitive behavior therapy and rational emotive behavior therapy, and wondered why it isn't like moving on past that, maybe considering feelings and so on. But I learned a couple reasons. One is we got to keep it simple because we're just peer support. We're not therapists and experts. So all we can do is like ABC checklist. We can't go into all the detail that an expert could. So that's one thing. It's got to be simple, and it's got to be fairly proven out before we can take on new and exciting modalities of I shouldn't call it treatment, but modalities of support.
That's an excellent way to put it.
I wanted to comment on how wonderful it is, how all-inclusive it is. I do... In my family, there is alcoholism. There's a cousin that is religious, and she visited, and I took her to a number of different AA meetings. And I like the cognitive part of it, you know, how they have you focus on one thing at a time. It's very practical. But I had my cousin coach me because as an atheist myself, I don't have a higher power. And then she was almost coaching me to maybe I could say I myself would be that, or science is my higher power. Just like throwing all these things that might hit, but it's almost like a sales pitch, you know? And
right.
Not every meeting plays up the religious part. I noticed that also, that it just varies by group.
It does. So when... there's talk of a higher power. That's a substitute word for God. But they really do mean God, because if they say to you, okay, your higher power can be a tree. Well, how in the hell is a tree going to help you with an addiction problem, right? But they're saying that this higher power is going to fix you. So that tree is not going to do it. So they're not talking about a tree. They're talking about a God that interacts with you. Right.
Yeah. Someone say they want you to have that faith, you know, to direct it at something that's always him, capital H. I follow.
Yeah. One of the criticisms I've seen of Alcoholics Anonymous is that they haven't been tracking recidivism, like the number of people who enter the program, then leave the program, and then fall back into their old addictions or habits. Evidence is kind of coming out that it's pretty high. Recidivism from AA is pretty high. Does SMART have any sort of way to track that, track their effectiveness? I think is really, how does SMART track their effectiveness when it comes to folks attending the meetings?
Very good question. And we don't have a good way to do it either. What we do have, though, is our methods are based on things like cognitive behavior therapy and other approaches that have science-based evidence from labs and from studies. And so it's not that our SMART recovery program is itself evidence-based. It is based on evidence-based techniques, if I could put it that way.
Got it. Yes.
Some of these things, you know, are very hard to nail down.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got quite a few questions. Before we hop into those, Brian, do you have anything else you kind of want to cover?
Well, I think it's probably a good time for a little wrap-up idea that I have, and a case to give you a little bit of the world according to Brian.
All right. All right. Let's do that.
So one of the features of AA and 12 Stacks that I love is a thing called the Serenity Prayer. You're familiar with the Serenity Prayer, right?
Yes.
Here is the list of the compare and contract. And now at the bottom, we have the Serenity Prayer. So it is, you know, God grant me the serenity to accept. This is a wall or a refrigerator magnet. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Very popular. One reason it's popular is because it goes on at all the AA 12 Steps meetings, and it's on lots of people's refrigerators. I like the fact that this refrigerator magnet removes the God. It starts with grant me. That's cool. But that still doesn't do it. Because what is still wrong with this statement? Grant me these things.
You're still talking about a higher power, something out of our control.
Yeah. You're asking from someone else.
Yeah. These things down here are not granted to people. They're things that you develop through study and practice and contemplation. So I've written a Brian's version of the Serenity Prayer. Here is Brian's Serenity Prayer. Develop the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Oh, I like that.
You got to work at it. It doesn't come easy. You get better at it. But it doesn't come, it's not granted to you. If you want to read the full write-up on that, you can go to my blog at bajinbo.blogspot.com there.
I don't have that link to share, so we'll get that in a bit out to you. But yeah, this again, Brian's Serenity Prayer, which I'm sure that's what it's called in the training manual, right, Brian? This seems to give me the power to control this, unless I am the Serenity Prayer almost seems like I'm taking a chance and I don't have control. Maybe I won't get granted it. Maybe I will. Maybe the person who's granting it is having a bad day and says, fuck you, Eric. But the way that you've written it, I have the power to do this. I can work on this. I can get get this done. Oh, the link's at the bottom.
Okay. Now you've got the world according to Brian. And I will stop my share.
So, we did the check-in. Is there kind of like a wrap-up type of thing that we do at the end of the meeting?
Oh, at the Mock Smart Recovery meeting that I forgot I'm running. Yeah. after we work through some individual problems that people are having and using a technique, by then the hour's gone because the time flies. And so there's a checkout where people will tell the group what they thought of the meeting, what they got out of it. And we always get these glowing thank yous for how great the mood of the meeting is. It's just got a good vibe going on. And some of them are pretty unhappy with other meetings they've gone to, not to name them, and they come with some relief, and then they start making friends and making connections at our meetings too. So we get all those comments.
That was one of the questions that we had. AA, someone mentioned that AA has a big book and it's filled with stories of people who have come through AA. Successfully, it's filled with successful stories. Does SMART have something similar to that? Is that kind of what we were just talking about?
Those were comments from people at the end of meetings, but I don't know of a big book like that. We do have a website, and it's a wonderful website where all our tools and things are, and the beauty of that is we can improve it, right?
Yeah, always add to it, that's for sure. Right. Brian, this was amazing. We've got quite a few questions. Madeline, do you want to take one of them and go ahead and start us off with that?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. The very first one we got was about, I guess, another recovery program called SOS. I'm not familiar with it, but the question was about whether it's still around or not.
Good question, because when I went looking for it, their website had expired. So I'm not sure.
Got it.
Thank you.
We had another question here. At the very beginning, we talked about like counting to zero and abstaining. And one of the person's concern, which I think is pretty valid, if we're like a heavy alcoholic and drinking quite a bit and we suddenly stop drinking, can that be dangerous? Can we experience some physiological effects from that?
Yes, and that is a medical situation, and we are a support group of peers, and so hopefully that has already happened. And if not, then we need to get people where they need to be, and it's possibly not at a support group meeting with us, because it's just us kids, you know?
Yeah, I got it. That makes sense. Yeah.
I'll take the next one. Is there a making amends step in SMART as there is in AA?
There is. Again, this is one of those things that I like about AA, and that's my favorite of the 12 steps, making amends. And I would say it's not specifically called out, but it is built into the idea of connection and maintaining relationships. So I would put it into the category 4 of lifestyle balance, and then also in the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. You're having some thoughts and feelings that have affected your behaviors, and you might be apologetic and want to apologize to some people as a result.
Excellent.
It makes sense. Thank you.
Can SMART programs be found in prisons? Is that something here in America or elsewhere in the world?
Yes, they have been going on in prisons. It was one of those things where I wondered if I had what it takes to go do that, and I decided that would be one step in too deep for me. But yes, we do have SMART programs in prisons.
Are they kind of run exactly the same in prison as they are outside?
Similar, yes.
Do you know about how many people are referred to secular programs versus AA by court?
What we hope for in the court situation is to get on their list. In other words, I went to the Rutherford County, which is, Gail knows, is where Murfreesboro is, and to their drug and alcohol court, and I said, I don't really need you to refer people to my program. I just want to be on the list so that when you show them the list, I'm one of the choices.
That's an option. That's great.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
So we got a question from someone over on Discord, and they're saying that in AA, they don't feel comfortable coming out as an atheist, like as a non-believer. What is that like? What would be the experience like of an atheist or a non-believer in a SMART support meeting?
Atheists are quite comfortable at SMART meetings, and they quite often come out and say it there because they know they're among other secular people anyway. But not all, by any stretch, are atheists. And so we're just open to any background. I can imagine why at the AA meeting it would be hard, because then some people would be telling you, okay, well, your higher power is the sky. And then you get into these awkward situations, I would say.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. I can see that. Got it. One of the questions is like, where do these training manuals and this booklet come from? Like, who makes them? Is it just some Joe Blow, or how do they come into existence?
You go to the website, www.smartrecovery.org. And they're all there.
Right. Who makes them?
I don't know. It's contracted out.
Okay. So,
do you mean who writes them?
Yes. The content? I'm sorry. Not who publishes them. How is this content made?
It's written by and authorized by Smart Recovery, or it's adopted from something that fits with us. But then there's a review board, decision-making body that decides what can actually be put into the workbook, for instance.
Okay, but can those names kind of be found on the website? Like, hey, I'm on these people are on the review board.
Well, the leadership of SMART is there.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Yeah, because one of the person who asked this question was like, this seems kind of all like the seat of the pants and made up, but it's nice to hear that there's a review board that this has to all kind of go through.
And they're actually a little bit cautious and conservative about adding new methods. So they're very careful to make sure that it is proven out and that it aligns with everything else we do.
Yeah.
We have a couple of questions here about the facilitator training. One is whether it's self-guided, and the other one is, does SMART lend assistance with starting a meeting after the facilitator training?
Okay, the facilitator training is online. It is self-paced, and it takes 6 weeks, the first four being kind of instructional and workbook on how to run a meeting, but also how to get a meeting going and market it, and then also tools to use to help people. And then the last 2 weeks are watching a meeting in process that's done online. And then the top leader generally talks to the new group of facilitators in the last meeting to kind of set the direction. It is self-paced.
Awesome. Thank you.
So it does sound like the new facilitators do have some hands-on guidance before doing their first sitting down for their first meeting.
Yes. Then we have regional coordinators. For instance, I was that for Tennessee. And we help new facilitators come along. I remember when I was new, I had the circumstance that's not unusual where you go and have your meeting and no one comes. So you're sitting there thinking, well, what am I doing here, right? And then you have to start thinking strategies to get the word out. And what did it for me was that getting on that Rutherford County DUI court list, and then people started to trickle in from there. Now, you might think, oh, those are just people that have to go. But once you get them there, they're good people too. And you wind up helping them anyway, even if they weren't sure they wanted to be there at first. And one thing that's always surprising to me, and maybe it shouldn't be, is that drug users and drinkers are wonderfully nice people with, you know, they're funny and they're, you know, nice to be around and they're trying their best and they didn't quite make it, but they're good folks, you know?
So the takeaway here is if you want to be a nice person, do drugs and alcohol and go to SMART meetings.
That's right.
All right. No, that's not the good advice. So are the facilitators monitored? Can they go rogue if or go sour or something like that? And how is that checked?
There could be people could contact the headquarters if a facilitator is out of line. And it's a challenge in any organization that is disparate, or what do you call it when they're located in many places, like recovering from religion?
Yeah, spread out.
But, you know, there are ways that we could learn from each other as far as the support groups at RFR mm-hmm. and the support groups at Smart Recovery, because I'm both. I use the tools I learned in one and the other, and then I take the tools I learned in one and the other. And the news is when I make it through a meeting without using the wrong word and calling it SMART to RFR or RFR to SMART.
The way you're kind of work through this meeting, I have seen quite a few similarities between an RFR support group meeting and the meeting you described, the SMART meeting you've described as well.
I'll tell you one difference.
Yeah.
There's always way more people at SMART Recovery. There's a bigger business in addiction recovery than there is religion recovery. Go figure. I don't know why, but that seems to be the case.
Let's see here. How many people in SMART do you think are actually getting professional help?
Many are, I'll say most, seem to be going to counselors as well. Therapists, yes.
Got it. One of the, during the meeting, if you kind of sense that someone has an alcohol problem or a drug problem and they're encouraged to abstain from the substance of choice, is there any medical advice that's given by the facilitators or...
Not medical advice, but just reminders that I'm not a doctor. I'm not a therapist. You need to get that direction from professionals, and I'm not one.
So you as a facilitator would encourage the person to go talk to a professional medical doctor to manage the symptoms and things like that. Mm-hmm. All right. Madeline, do you have any other questions that you'd like to bring up?
No, I think we covered a great range of questions, and it was a wonderful presentation, Brian. Thanks so much.
Oh, I got one last question. Is that okay, Madeline?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
If I wanted to set up a SMART recovery support group in my area, how would I do that?
You start by contacting the website, getting your training, and then you will get advice on how to do it in the training, and it's in the manual. But things like you have to find a space. And the space, you know, kind of like a RFR meeting, needs to be probably not a church, right? Mm-hmm. But it can be, but it's best if it's, you know. And so you need a quiet place. It needs to be private. It needs to be hopefully free because there's no money coming in other than donations, right?
Right.
So, and it needs to be safe and comfortable for welcoming for people, right? So you have to get set up just like an RFR support group meeting.
Got it. So it sounds like most of these meetings are held in maybe libraries or coffee houses or maybe like some social group building or something like that too.
Yes. In my case, the meetings at Murfreesboro and then at Nashville were in recovery facilities that were open to having something in their building that wasn't AA and 12 steps.
Perfect.
Which is sometimes hard to find.
Brian, thank you so much, so much for coming and talking to us about this. This has been incredibly helpful. And actually, I am feeling really positive about this going forward. Like, I knew that AA was such a big thing out there for addiction recovery. And I had no idea how much SMART does in all over the nation and probably all over the world too. So this sounds really, really good. And I love kind of how you just said, hey, if you want to do both of them too. You'll get benefits. Take from one what you want and take from the other what you want. So it's just been a fantastic talk. Thank you so much, Brian.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Recovering from Religion podcast. If you have questions for either of us or suggestions for future topics, you can email us at podcast@recoveringfromreligion.org. If you think you'd like to be one of our guests, we have a form on the podcast page of the Recovering from Religion website. We'd love to hear from you.